rise up, sunshine. Let's smell the flowers and cool the soup. We've got a jam-packed Your Word Wednesday today. One of you helped us write today's show. The best 10 minutes in news starts now. Let's dive into our top story. Some fantastic discovery shedding new light on our planet's most mysterious ecosystem. Scientists say they've identified more than 1,100 previously unknown species in our oceans following a series of 13 expeditions in some of the ocean's most remote places. The year's worth of finds are weird, wonderful, and downright wild. Like this surreal ghost shark or a symbiotic worm that lives in a glass castle, which is actually a sponge made out of silica. And check out this carnivorous death ball sponge that uses Velcro-like hooks to capture passing crustaceans 12,000 feet below the sea. They also discovered a new species of ribbon worm, which produce a potent toxin that's been linked to potential treatments for Alzheimer's and schizophrenia. It's all part of the Ocean Census, a global effort to map marine life, which involves more than 1,000 researchers across 85 countries. The organization says these discoveries amount to a 54% increase in annual identifications, a catalyst in the race to understand and potentially protect marine life from climate change and other threats. Now, determining whether all these species are completely new may take some time. The organization says it can take an average of 13 and a half years between discovering a new species and formally enshrining it into science. Now to an update on the wildfires out west. A brush fire in Simi Valley, California is rapidly expanding and has now forced more than 33,000 people to evacuate their homes and businesses. Already, the wildfire has burned more than 1,300 acres, and as of this taping, it was 0% contained. This is about 40 miles northwest of Los Angeles. It's also home to the Reagan Presidential Library, which shut down yesterday due to the fire threat. Schools in the area also forced to close. Our Reed Binion has more.
I was getting ready to go out to work, and, you know, just a lot of smoke.
Residents in parts of Southern California ordered to evacuate after a wildfire broke out Monday.
It's like so weird. You look there and it's blue. You look here and it's like total fire, you know? It's pretty scary. I mean, we've lived here 24 years and nothing like this has ever happened.
The fast-moving blaze prompted officials to order evacuations for tens of thousands of people in Simi Valley and surrounding communities. Thousands more were under evacuation warnings. Driven by strong winds, the morning brush fire spread quickly, sending up thick smoke amid large flames. According to the LA Times, the fire burned at least one home and one other structure Monday, with thousands more under threat. The response was swift. Officials said Monday roughly 500 firefighters were battling the blaze. Crews on the ground were aided from the sky by fixed-wing air tankers and multiple water-dropping helicopters, as well as planes dropping fire retardant.
I've always heard the response up here was pretty good up there, you know, when there were fires in the past, so I'm just really thankful.
According to the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection, the Sandy Fire had burned more than 1,300 acres as of late Monday, and the agency said the blaze was at 0% containment. Officials said the cause of the fire is under investigation. I'm Reed Binion reporting.
Pop quiz, hot shot. Where did the concept of trial by jury originate? Greece, Egypt, Italy, or Germany? If you said Greece, you must be fluent in legalese. The ancient Greeks began using citizen juries way back in 508 BCE. Jury panels often consisted of more than 500 people to prevent bribes or corruption. A closely watched court case at the center of the AI industry has come to a close. Elon Musk has lost his lawsuit against OpenAI and its leaders after a California jury determined that he waited too long to sue the company, which he helped found back in 2015. Our Hadass Gold has more on what this verdict means for both the world's richest man and one of the most valuable tech companies on the planet.
After 3 weeks of testimony from some of the biggest names in tech, it took a jury in California under 2 hours to render a verdict in Elon Musk's massive case against OpenAI and its leader, Sam Altman. The jury essentially saying that Musk waited too long to bring this case, that the statute of limitations had passed. Elon Musk, who helped fund and co-found OpenAI, he sued the company, claiming that he was deceived, that its leaders were unjustly enriched, that they breached a charitable trust when they transitioned OpenAI from being a pure nonprofit to having a for-profit structure. It's now a for-profit overseen by nonprofit foundation board and is one of the most valuable companies in tech. OpenAI had argued in its defense that Elon Musk had long wanted OpenAI to have some sort of for-profit structure to help it raise money to fund the expensive development of AI. They said that when he wasn't able to gain control of OpenAI like he wanted, he left the company in 2018 and then went on to fund to create a competitor, his company xAI. OpenAI was arguing that this was a case of somebody just trying to bring down a competitor. For OpenAI, though, this means that their plan so far can continue as they wanted to. They are expecting to have a massive initial public offering later this year. Elon Musk, in his case, he wanted the judge to actually revert OpenAI back to a nonprofit status. And should he have been successful, that obviously would have scrambled OpenAI's plans. He also wanted Sam Altman to lose his job. But none of that is going to happen, at least for now, while Elon Musk files his appeal.
Life aboard the USS Gerald R. Ford isn't easy, and every team member plays a role, especially the furry four-legged one. CNN's Brian Todd tells us the story of Sage, the Labrador Retriever, a therapy dog that accompanied fellow sailors for 11 months.
Some of the most stalwart warfighters melt for just 30 seconds, de-stress, and go do something dangerous. It just bolsters their resilience.
To deal with some of the stresses of being away for so long, the sailors on board the Gerald Ford had one companion who was very valuable, Sage, a 6-year-old Labrador Retriever, a therapy dog that helped them through some of their most difficult moments.
She just works the crowd, just making everybody's day a little bit better, but she can also help in those situations where someone's having a bad day, turn that day around.
This is the end of an exhausting deployment as the carrier strike group for the USS Gerald R. Ford, the aircraft carrier, has come back to Norfolk, Virginia after 11 months at sea.
It actually happens on a daily basis. Like, someone's having a bad day and they interact with Sage and they say, that's just what I needed.
All right, I am so excited for this and so grateful for all of you. The Honor Roll, we launched it just a few days ago. It's our salute to service members who've had a profound impact on your life, and our inbox is already overflowing with your tributes and photos. Here are just a few today. Our first salute goes to First Sergeant James Boyd, who has been serving in the Army National Guard for 22 years. His daughter Isabella says he's the kind of dad to always put family before work. Next up, Grace Johnson at Gloucester High School in Virginia wants to acknowledge her mom and dad, Air Force power couple Tara and Sean Michael Johnson, who have more than 24 years of service combined. Amazing. Grace says thank you for encouraging her to chase her dreams. Now, salute to Daniel Riley, or as his nephew Thomas at Marsh Creek 6th Grade Center in Downingtown, Pennsylvania, calls him Uncle Dan. He served in the Army during the Iraq War. Thomas says he's the most loving uncle with the absolute best bear hugs. Finally, we salute Sergeant Andrew Knapp. His children, Callan and Marcy, from Milton, Vermont, say their dad's love is worldwide. He's currently deployed in Germany. Callan says he has always helped her through tough times. Thank you so much to all of our service members out there who go out of their way for all of us. And thanks to all of you, our viewers, for helping us share their stories. If you want to highlight a military member in your life, please send us their name, photo, and a couple lines about why they're so special to you. That's at our email, cnn10@cnn.com. Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, architecture students who are the blueprint of support for their community. At the University of Kansas, architecture students built a home to help people transition out of homelessness, a nearly year-long project in partnership with the nonprofit Tenants to Homeowners. They designed and constructed a tiny house, which are known for their environmentally conscious design.
I just never even dreamed that I would get to impact someone who actually is living in the space that I'm building. It's all been theoretical.
On opening day, people lined up to see this home sweet home, which the students say they know the house inside and out, from the plumbing to its structural integrity. The nonprofit is planning on building 7 more tiny houses by the end of the year, and these KU students are ready to nail them down. And there's already a woman who's been chosen to move into their very first one. All right, superstars, congratulations to our Your Word Wednesday winner, Mr. Fox and friends at Ben Steele Middle School in Billings, Montana, who submitted catalogs catalyst, a noun that means something that sparks major change or action. And we have a shout out today going to Mrs. Dalton at Northwest Middle School in McDermott, Ohio. Jing-a-ling-a-ling. They sent us this beaded wind chime and made of shrink film. Each of these tokens here represent a different CNN 10 story that you love. This is seriously spectacular. I cannot wait to show this thing off. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Make it a wonderful day. And I'll see you right back here tomorrow. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.